there's so many buildings that have dog grooming stations now.
I don't have a dog. I don't have a dog. I'm not going to use your dog grooming station, but I'm paying for it, right?
Exactly.
I can't see me grooming myself at the dog grooming station, but I can. I can't see myself on a bus.
Is it helpful if I tell you about my weird dream about Michael Rainville?
Did you have a weird dream about Michael Rainville?
It was a very weird dream. And
when, are you in Ward 3?
I'm not. I'm in Ward 7.
Oh, that, why? Okay, tell me your weird dream about Michael Rainville.
So this like kept me up all night because I did not understand it. But I had a dream I was like canvassing for 2023 city council, even though I'm not in Ward 3. And I was talking to someone. I said, do you know who your city council person is? And they said, I'm a proud Rainville supporter. You know, after what he did with the zoo, I can't leave him. And I said, what do you mean the zoo? And they were talking about how he physically picked up a zoo in Ohio and carried it to Minneapolis with all the exhibits intact, physically carrying it. And because he did that, he could not stop being city councilman for Ward 3. And I just kind of have been really confused by that ever since.
Can I analyze your dream?
Yeah.
Would it be, I'm not a medical professional or I'm not in this line of work. So with that disclaimer out of the way, can I analyze your
dream? I'll allow it.
It sounds like you see Michael Rainville as like importing the culture and ways of being of Ohio into Minneapolis, which I think kind of makes sense. Like the state of Ohio is fairly conservative compared to Minneapolis, and you see him as instituting maybe the animal instincts of the people of Ohio. Not that the people of Ohio are animals. I'm not saying that. That's my interpretation. Any listeners from Ohio, if you have thoughts on the accuracy of my dream interpretations, please write in to newsroom@wedgelive.com.
There's a lot of emphasis on the penguins coming from Ohio, and I'm thinking maybe because he represents downtown, it's like the business people of downtown, because penguins kind of look like they're wearing like a suit and jacket.
Yeah, tuxedos.
That's my thought. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So we tried to record this episode last week, and we had technical difficulties, and so I'm thinking so that I can incorporate some of that episode into this one, we'll do like a flashback.
Okay.
but first I should introduce Molly Burns Hansen from Move Minnesota. We're going to talk about buses and why they're great and what we can do to make riding the bus more affordable for lots more people and entice them to ride the bus. But Molly, do you remember our conversation from last week?
I remember I ranted a bit about disability accessibility on the bus.
I get pretty heated when I see arguments about how the bus lanes would make it harder for disabled folks because they're actually a lifeline, you know? I was, you know, formerly an assistant to someone who used a mobility device. And when we tried using Lyft to get to events, it was the most ridiculous, like, circus of things to go through. Like, we'd keep on getting drivers who couldn't drive her, and then we'd have to send them back, call a driver. It would take, like, 2 hours to get a ride. And so, with the bus, when that would be right there, like, she was in Midtown, when we took the bus, it took way less time. So, when people bring up the disability argument, I get pretty heated.
Now we're going to come back from the flashback and I will say, wow, I can't believe we talked about that. It seems like it was just yesterday.
It's been 8 days. A lot has changed in those 8 days with buses. Yeah,
the mayor vetoed a bus lane and the council did not override it. And now we're kind of in limbo seeing what's going to happen on Hennepin Avenue. Let's get into why you're here to talk about it. And hopefully we can successfully complete this episode.
Yeah.
You are trying to sign up buildings, apartment buildings, multifamily buildings to participate in Metro Transit's program for a $14 per month per unit transit pass, which I am extremely excited about. Briefly tell us what this program is and what you were trying to do.
Yeah, so it's called the Residential Transit Pass, very self-explanatory. Residents on transit get a pass. But it is a fare product designed to reduce transit costs for renters while also retaining and attracting new tenants for property managers and new developments. And the way that works is, so it's unlimited rides, $14 a month. By comparison, the next bus pass, like the one that's unlimited rides, non-rush hour, is $65 a month. So this is like a quarter of the price, about a little around there. But even if you were on like transit assistant program benefits where your bus ride is $1 a month, that would come out to about 40 with how much you use the bus on tap. So it's just like ridiculous amounts of savings. And the property owner can either add it to rent and then people can just add pay an extra 14 a month with their rent, or the property owner can pay for it. And with the property owner or building manager, paying for it, is they would save a lot on parking, which, like, you don't drive, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Do you know how much it costs to create one surface level parking stall in Minnesota on average?
So like a parking lot.
Yeah, but stall.
Right. I'm going to say like $10,000, something like that. I know structured parking is into the multiple tens of thousands of dollars, but
it is $21,500
for a surface stall.
Mm-hmm. And then it goes up, you know, as you go, like adding coverage, as you go underground, you got to go through the water. It just adds more and more thousands.
Yeah.
So if you had, like, I don't know, if you're going with one of those big apartment buildings that has at least 100 units, they have 100 parking stalls, that's $2 million approximately to make that parking lot. Whereas the residential transit pass, if you gave an unlimited ride to each unit, that would just be like 14 times 100 per month. So
it's an excellent deal, $14. And I think it's a way to encourage more people to ride the bus. Like if you move into a building and maybe you're transit curious, maybe you have never done it before, having that pass in your pocket, just as a function of living in the building, reduces the friction of thinking, well, do I have to pull quarters out of my pocket to pay once I get on the bus? No, you just ride the bus whenever you want, unlimited rides, and it's included with your rent or if you're a condo owner. And like condos are included in this, right? Like a condo association could decide, we want to provide transit passes for all of our residents.
Yeah. You could also, you know, we have some neighborhood associations interested in doing it to kind of group together like smaller duplexes.
Oh.
It's really just as long as there's like one person holding the contract and in charge of how it like goes out and
That's really interesting. So is there like a minimum purchase amount?
So the minimum, there has to be 10 units, and that is to, one, like, just handle the administration costs, because if you got, like, 100 contracts for just two units, it's just, like, a ridiculous pile of contracts. But also, that way, the influence of the pass and the free rides is more accessible. It expands more. So there are some people who are like, I own 5 duplexes. Could I do it? Heck yeah, you can. We'll make it work. And the program, I don't want to call it, like, say it's in a beta mode, but it's in a very flexible position right now. Mm-hmm. Like, it's able to, we're in a place where we can experiment and, like, talk about more solutions to getting this passed to more people and making it work for groups of people in neighborhoods.
Are you finding that your work of doing outreach, and I hope I said that you're with Move Minnesota. Did I say that at the beginning of this?
I think we did.
You're not
I know we said it in the last episode.
Move Minnesota. And you're trying to sign people up. Have you found it easy? What are the frustrations or difficulties you're facing?
So it has been hard to contact properties because, like, I am selling something in a sense. Like, this is a sales pitch. And so contacting a random building with a sales pitch of, like, do you want this amenity in your building? You know, it can easily just kind of go through into the spam pile. But when I've connected with tenants and then they put me in touch with their landlord, or they say, like, this is how you reach, you know, the property company, you know, with that bridge, there's been more success. And we have some buildings, like, getting ready to sign on. We have neighborhood groups getting ready to sign on. Like, the ball is rolling. But if you want the residential transit pass in your building, feel free to reach out to me and say, hey, Molly, I want to reach out to my landlord, Gary, and have him make this pass a part of our rental agreement, you know, or me and other people in my condo want to get this ball rolling. Just reach out to me, mollybh@movemn.org. B as in boy, H as in horse. Is that a common one? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's also zoo themed to go with.
Yes.
Does it have to be every unit in a building?
Yeah, so it is every unit in the building, and that is to encourage the promotion and encourage people to use transit. So
that's how you get the cost down, I assume.
Yep. Like,
you must buy a transit pass for everyone in the building.
Yeah, and that's where, like, some people are put off by it, but, like landlords. But one, you know, you can technically pass the cost off to residents. Ideally, I think it's better just as an amenity that's included. But also, there are so many buildings that have dog grooming stations now.
I don't have a dog. I'm not going to use your dog grooming station, but I'm paying for it, right?
Exactly.
I can't see me grooming myself at the dog grooming station, but I can. I can't see myself on a bus. Like, it's not as far fetched as, like, grooming. I cut my own hair, but I'm not going to use the dog grooming station to do that.
You might be, like, a little too tall for it. I feel like it's mainly for a dog size, but
yeah,
I don't know.
I'm larger than most dogs.
And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it's a great amenity. Like, if you have, and I remember Chris Meyer pushing this idea at the Planning Commission. He used to be on the Planning Commission when he was also on the Park Board. And he would push developers when they came in presenting a plan. Will you commit to providing transit passes for all of your residents? And in addition to his, like, will you be providing less parking? Can we reduce the parking and increase some other features of your building with all that wasted space and wasted cost? So if you're coming to the city with a building that has reduced parking, like, it stands to reason you are trying to, they always say, we're trying to appeal to residents who want to drive less or not own a car at all. And when you see that on the advertisement, we provide free transit for all our residents. It gives you a leg up, building owners.
Yeah. I mean, statistically, Gen Z is just not getting their license. Like, it's not like they're not buying cars. It's that they're just like, license? Why would I do that? I have other things to do. And then, you know, bus to Southdale Mall to hang out or whatever Gen Z does, you know.
Is Southdale in Edina? Is that where that is?
It is.
It's going to take forever without that bus lane. Jacob Fry.
The 6. It needs the space. It needs the space. But I don't know if the youth still go to Southdale Mall, but that's where I went as a high schooler. That was a cool place.
Does Metro Transit, you say this is kind of, you don't want to call it a beta, but we're going to call it a beta because it's the only word I can relate to. Does Metro Transit know how it's going?
Yeah. So some places have signed up. It's, you know, still in the fresh stage. But yeah, buildings have signed up. And in 2019, actually, there was a pilot, and it was with 6 buildings, about 642 units. And it was lower income housing along the Green Line in St. Paul. And when the survey was done with the pilot program, 76% of people actually use transit more with the pass. 100% of them said, I would prefer to live in a building that has this pass. Like, literally everyone said that. And then 70% of the people who participated already owned cars. So it was like, most of them were not transit dependent, yet they loved this. Like, it's almost as if people got into transit.
It's getting more expensive to drive. Molly, have you heard about gas prices?
I have, actually. So there's this little calculator from Stanford that like calculates how much CO2 you're putting into the air. And like, if you drive to like, let's say like Mueller Park to City Hall 4 times a month, at the end of the year with like current gas prices of about $4.50 in Minneapolis, that's a little lower than it like is today, but that would come out to $381 in just like gas and parking and stuff. And then with hidden costs on cars, it'd be $464 approximately, and 189 pounds of CO2, which is equivalent to 68 propane fueled barbecues.
Well, I think the Supreme Court said we can no longer regulate like carbon emissions. Is that a thing?
So I've not been fully debriefed on what the Supreme Court is doing with the EPA, but that is my understanding. But I need to fully dive into it. There's been like, the Supreme Court's been doing a lot of things, and I can kind of only process so much at once, to be quite honest.
Did you hear about the abortion thing?
It's kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
You know, kind of goes in the negative column, to say the least.
So we had the district court, the Hennepin County District Court, and I'm going to go on a tangent here, but against the 2040 plan, saying that basically it's a bunch of pretend environmentalists suing to stop triplexes from being built in their neighborhood. And so the plan is about creating a dense pedestrianized city, a place where, you know, people can live affordably and be able to live in a place where they can take the bus or ride bikes, like live in a more sustainable way. I don't think any climate scientists would disagree with the fact that urban living has is a much more environmentally friendly way to live in terms of climate change. Mm-hmm. And you've got people using environmental law here in Minneapolis, a bunch of rich Southwest Minneapolis residents trying to kill that plan. I don't know why I brought that up or why that came up, but I think it was in terms of court rulings.
Well, something that's interesting to me is what's so often brought up in fighting the 2040 plan is how many more cars will be in the city. And like that's brought up, and that always bothers me for like multiple reasons. But one is, hear me out here, the residential transit pass, if that was in the buildings that were built, maybe people wouldn't move in with their cars.
Yeah. Whoa. And so there's this idea that like the 2040 plan is creating new human beings, I think. Like human beings have a carbon footprint just by being alive. We do stuff that is not great for the planet. And I'm not saying we should eliminate human beings. I'm saying like these people exist and they're going to live somewhere. Better that they live in a city and have the ability to take the bus or ride a bike or walk to the grocery store or drive less or not drive at all. That's more likely to happen in Minneapolis than in some exurban area where they're commuting to the Twin Cities anyway and driving a lot more. Even if you're moving to Minneapolis and driving, you're driving so much less, and some of your trips will be walking, biking, or taking the bus. I'm very frustrated by the lawsuit and the climate denialism that is inherent in the lawsuit.
Yeah. Can I go on a tangent a little bit?
Go.
This is a tangent safe space. Okay. Mm-hmm. So something, I think I said this when we tried to chat last week. I get really ridiculously peeved of using, when people use disability as a scapegoat for not supporting transit, because they think like with the bus lanes that that means people with disabilities aren't able to get into the city. But statistically, people with disabilities more likely live in urban areas or more dense areas because there's more transit access, because things are more walkable. And 1 in 5 Metro Transit users do have disabilities. But I've been thinking about that, like with the lawsuit. I mean, it's not exactly environmentalism, but just thinking about how the 2040 plan, it you know, addresses a lot of disparities, and I haven't heard a whole lot of it, how it would address disability accessibility so much with having more housing in more areas, like, that are more walkable.
Yeah.
You know,
and
are more rollable.
I think there's like a U.S. Department of Transportation survey where they showed that the most common issue facing disabled people in terms of transportation is lack of adequate public transportation. The most common transportation issue.
Just invest in transit. Solves like a lot of things.
Have you had any feedback from landlords and building managers on the Transit Pass program?
Oh boy, have I. So there's been quite a few different things I've received. My favorite is always that people don't use transit, so why would we do this? Mm. When really, what we discovered during the pandemic is that essential workers are much more likely to use transit. So, you know, if you
define essential worker, because I think a lot of people in their minds are thinking doctors and nurses and police officers and firemen and those kinds of things.
Good point.
We including like grocery store workers?
Yeah. In essential? Yeah. Okay. Grocery store workers, people who work at like Walgreens, basically any essential service you need. I guess, you know, I don't want to say gas stations because cars, but like people working at gas stations, retail. I have friends who had to like move where they lived, you know, because of transit, because they worked at grocery stores and they had to be there at 4 a.m., you know. And those people use transit way more. So when people say no one uses transit in terms of this pass, I'm like, a lot of people that you rely on every day in your life do. A lot of pushback is, why spend money on this? Which, the parking savings, again, it's a ridiculous amount of money for a surface level plot or stall, $21,000. So it's good with developers when they're still planning out, like, if they're going to have a parking lot, what the heck they're going to do with it. It's really good for tenant retention. People are less likely to leave if they feel so secure where they're living. Also, like, saves them money. It's less stressful, happier tenants. Also, when people have been provided resources, like the free transit pass, they're more likely to use transit. Like, I don't know, I kind of think a lot about, like, if you go to a hotel, you might not be craving a mint, you might not be a mint person, but there's a mint on your pillow, and you're like, might as well eat it.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, we're making riding transit easier and friction-free.
I don't know. You know that anxiety when you have to fill your card and then you aren't sure if the money's gone onto your card yet and you're like, ah.
I know exactly that feeling because you have to wait 24 hours. I notice my transit pass is empty and I have to take a trip because I'm the kind of person who lets it go down to zero before I refill it again. There have been times when I had to like make a quick stop at the co-op because it hasn't loaded on my card, or I'm worried it hasn't loaded on my card, and I had to buy a whole new card. And yes, that's a real problem, and I can very much relate to it.
It's so stressful. When I was in Metro State, we had unlimited ride passes, and that was, like, world-changing. I was like, I don't have that panic attack every, like, week or so. Like, that's incredible, you know?
Is it, do you keep the same card every month? It's just reloaded, or do they send you a new card?
Yeah. I think, you know, if there's a new contract, you know, if there's new things being decided, they'd probably send you a new card, but, you get to keep the same one. You don't have to jump through for new ones. That's my understanding. But if there's, I can't see a world where it would make sense to get a new card all the time, but
I think a lot of people are going to think of this as like do-gooderism or some kind of charity. I think it's very practical and like will make a difference in the world and get people riding the bus and lead to greater satisfaction among people who live in a place. I don't need a cable TV subscription included in my rent. There's a lot of perks that, as we mentioned, the dog park thing, dog grooming station, a lot of perks that I don't have any use for. Getting people to ride the bus. Transportation is a great perk. We all have to get somewhere, right?
Yeah. Obviously, I'm very pro this program. That's why I'm like here to talk about it. But also, I feel like I would have stayed, you know, in certain places if this program was there and provided. I think also, when people are introduced to transit, when they wouldn't otherwise be, they stick with it and it can become habitual. And I think a lot of people will move if they get older and like cannot drive, or, you know, they develop a, like something that limits their ability to drive, and then they'll move somewhere and learn transit. But this kind of like removes that, you know what I mean? Like, if you already have this transit pass, you're already practicing, if you get into a position where you can no longer drive a car, you have your backup plan. You are ready. You are, like, good to go. And what's great is when you sign up for this program, Metro Transit is, like, able to walk through certain things with you and provide resources for your tenants to learn how to do transit. So if you're, like, super nervous about it, Metro Transit's ready to talk.
I like to think of it, I've told this story a couple of times, but I like to think of it as visiting a theme park, and you know how they have the buses. Are you a person who's ever been to a theme park? Like a resort with theme parks like Disney or Universal Studios?
I went to Universal Studios as a child, and it was horrifying. Okay. But, you know.
Well, this is a heartwarming story about a theme park.
Okay, give me a heartwarming story.
Like on the park grounds in one of their hotels, there is bus service that takes you to all of the parks from your hotel to the park to the little shopping area, and you don't have to use your car the entire time that you're there. You don't have to pay for parking. You don't have to sit in lines where the car's backed up. It's the resort experience. Also, like, if you know how to use the bus, if you get into the habit of using the bus, any city you go to, you go from the airport, you get on the bus, you're at your hotel, you're getting around the city. I think of transit as freedom. In other words, yeah. A lot of people see cars as freedom. I see transit as freedom.
I was in, the theme park thing is making me think of that meme of like the ideal walkable city, but it's like a photo of Disney World.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was recently in DC and it blew my mind how ridiculously easy it was to transfer. Like in Minneapolis and St. Paul, I'm always like, what's going to have the least transfers? Because there's that stress, like that kind of waiting, making sure you meet your transfer, kind of like when same anxiety as when you're at an airport and you have to do what's called a layover or something. Yeah. But in DC, it was just like so quick. It felt like there was like BRT everywhere. That's what it felt like. And it was heavenly. And it was just so comfortable. I was envious of it.
Yeah, there are times when I cross the Mississippi River into Northeast Minneapolis on a bus, and I'm like, I don't know if I will ever be able to make it home, because I've had experiences where you think the bus is supposed to come and it doesn't come. Like, you took the bus too far to the point where the return trips are like 45 minutes apart.
Yeah.
Will I ever make it home?
I grew up in St. Louis Park, like not far from Uptown, but like St. Louis Park. And I remember one time my mom was out of town for a weekend, and I took the bus back in the day it was called the 12. Now I think we call it the 612 most of the time. But I took the 12 into Uptown to go to Ragstock, which was really cool. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't know that at the Uptown Transit Station, the bus stops change, right? Like for the 12/612 during rush hour, you get on the side with the mall, and then in certain hours you get off on you get on the side by that yoga studio that looks like a library or whatever that is. The side with
McDonald's. It's like a nightclub, isn't it?
It's a nightclub now, that's it. I think it was a yoga studio at one point. But anyway, that was not made clear to me, and I was really scared about how to get home because I didn't have like a parent to drive me, and I had to track down someone to give me a ride, and it was just like not obvious how that worked. Like, it just... St. Louis Park gets spooky with transit if it gets too late at night.
It's true. Have we covered everything, Molly? Is there anything I left out about this program? And we want people to contact you if you're a building owner, a tenant, a landlord. Even if you own, like, what did we say the minimum was again?
It's 10 units. Okay. But, again, we are in a flexible stage. So if it's like... you own a 5-unit building, your best friend Greg owns a 5-unit building, and y'all want to team up to provide this pass to your tenants, you can do that. We can make this work.
Have you been doing you mentioned neighborhood associations. Have you been doing a lot of work with neighborhood associations? That seems like fertile ground to like get the word out and have a bunch of building owners participate. Like if you got with the Whittier Alliance, for example, and like had them do outreach, you could maybe sign up a ton of units. There's a lot of transit riders in Whittier.
There are. I've been talking with this person named Jason Garcia. You might know them.
I know Jason. I don't know Garcia. If you did.
Y'all are buds, but you know, I've been talking to people from neighborhood associations, I've met with, I want to say, like over half of the ones in Minneapolis, a good chunk of the ones in St. Paul. But for the most part, people are like, yeah, let's promote this on our social media. Let's add this to our newsletter. I had one neighborhood association say, you know, we are going to go door knock apartment buildings and just talk to tenants and organize tenants. I've had some people just talk about like getting involved with city planners they're connected to, like all sorts of different connections. But yeah, neighborhood associations have been great. I've talked to all the St. Paul City Council at this point. They're all pretty jazzed. About half of the Minneapolis City Council has been chatted with. Like,
what about hotels? Here's a curveball.
That is something I've wondered. I'm like, if this was provided, like, to, if this was a part of a, when you book a hotel room at, what is it, the Hilton? I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, the Hilton. Okay, that's a thing. If you're at the Hilton and you get like an unlimited ride pass, you're probably more likely to use transit. Mm-hmm. And like statistically, when there's more people riding transit, there's less unwanted behavior, like less fights, less aggression. Yeah. But then, you know, it's catch 22 because people don't want to go on the bus because they think there'll be unwanted behavior, you know. But anyway, yeah, I think hotel, motel, Holiday Inn should have residential transit pass, if that made sense.
So you don't know if it's technically allowed for a hotel to say, I have 160 units in my hotel, and I would like 160 monthly transit passes that could be exchanged from one guest to the next day after day.
I don't think that's a thing, but I don't think that's a bad question.
Should be.
Like,
I would choose a hotel that gave me free transit. You're providing me with some perks. I like that idea.
Yeah, especially the ones in downtown. I mean, you got that free downtown zone. Or what is that? Is that 50 cents? I can't remember.
I never understood the free downtown zone because I never start in downtown. And I never start and finish in downtown. So why? It seems very complicated. And then does the bus driver have to keep track of you and make sure you get off in the free zone?
Yeah, that's something I got confused about. Like, being a teenager, downtown was cool and artsy, and we'd like walk around with our little digital cameras and be like, oh, this photo of a leaf is mind-blowing. But we'd do the free zone a lot, and it was never clear to me where the free zone started and ended.
Yeah, like, it makes me nervous. It makes me feel like, am I shoplifting transit right now if I use this? I don't know where to get off.
I'm picturing, like, I know what you mean, but I'm picturing you with a really big tote bag and then picking mm-hmm. up a bus and putting it yes. in the tote bag. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, yeah, I could see you doing that.
I would. I'm anarchist. I visited Chicago recently, and I was able to, I think their unlimited pass is ridiculously cheap, like $21 or something. I think they had decreased it by a lot to encourage transit ridership to pick up. I don't think we've done this here with Metro Transit with slashing fares, have we? Although we had like a month or two of free or $1 rides. I loved the $1 ride.
There was $1 rides, yeah. I think that picked up some traction. I think it just also got really complicated with the pandemic when we're all told to stay home, only take like necessary trips. And, you know, the pilot for the residential transit pass was late 2019. And from my understanding, this was before I worked at Move Minnesota, but from my understanding, things were ready to rock and roll early 2020. And then suddenly being told not to ride transit made it really hard to get that information out.
Like, I can afford to ride the bus. I'm not a person who's like, well, I can't get on the bus because things are so tight that I can't afford transit. But I'm also like very, at the same time, I'm price sensitive. Like, the $1 rides really did encourage me to ride the bus more, even though I don't think of myself as a person who's like, well, I can't ride the bus because it's too expensive. And it is too expensive for some people. So in the debate about like free transit and things like that, I think it would increase ridership for sure. The $1 rides really got me riding the bus more.
I I have this tendency to kind of measure like smaller price things in gumballs, because they're always 25 cents. So like the idea of like 4 gumballs as opposed to 8, that's like a good deal, you know?
Is that your currency? Is that...
In my brain, like one time my grandma went out of the way to save 24 cents on gas, and I said, that's almost a gumball.
Come on, grandma. Yeah,
we
don't make smart decisions as human beings, do we?
No, I actually, speaking of prices, just like some trivia, how much do you think, well, this would be 2019 data, but how much do you think it costs to own a car in Minnesota?
I'm going to say $10,000 a year. I don't know. I have no idea. I always guess high because cars are so expensive.
Yeah. So in 2019 in Minnesota, it was about $6,400 to have a car per year. And that's like car payments, gas, repairs, oil, you know, whatever types of hidden fees come up. You know, your tire explodes or something. I don't know.
Is that like a mid-range car? Because I think I see graphs like this on Twitter all the time. And somebody in the replies is always like, yeah, but that's if you have a really expensive car. I've paid off my car.
From my understanding, this is the average. So like it can range from people who pay like, so like I have a car. I don't use it a whole lot just for when I have to reach things that are not transit accessible, or like I'm wild about walking everywhere. But for me, I pay like, I'd say like $20 a month for my super old falling apart car. But this so that would include me up to the people who buy the, I don't know, the electric Ford trucks that Joe Biden does donuts in. I don't know if you remember that video.
I do.
Yeah. But so in that whole range, in the middle, in 2019, it was $6,400 in Minnesota. And that's just gone up because of the cost of gas, obviously. And then like inflation. But it is more expensive to own a car in Minnesota because of our crummy road situation where we get the potholes, and then, yeah, that makes it harder to keep your cars in good shape.
Cars make me so nervous. Like the thought of owning a car makes me incredibly nervous. And I have a lot of empathy for people who do own cars, because you're parking this big, valuable thing on the street. If you're somebody who has to park on the street, you could get your window smashed. Somebody could come by and just rear end it and total it. And you don't have transportation. You've got a repair bill. I have feeling stress vicariously. That's the word I was looking for.
Vicarious stress. Okay.
Through car owners.
I got a car during the pandemic because I used to be a dog walker, and it was really hard to get from suburban house to suburban house via transit. And I got it like super smallest, cheapest thing I could find. And a few weeks in, I was trying to leave a Target parking lot and like no one's moving. And then I look up and see this guy barreling towards me at like 45 miles per hour. And he's like leaned over in the passenger seat. And I just scream, oh no. And I have like a little sticker of Rashida Jones from The Office going like this on my steering wheel going like, and I'm just praying to Rashida Jones. I'm like, Rashida, don't let anything bad happen. And they slams into me, and like I was prepared for it. And I come out the car. I'm like, dude. And basically Shaggy from Scooby-Doo comes out of the car. He's like, whoa, man, I'm so sorry. And no one got hurt, but my bumper got destroyed. And so every few weeks, another part of my bumper falls off. And that was like 2 years ago now.
This is the car like, you still have.
Yes. It just, the bumper is slowly falling off, and it's just becoming an uglier and uglier car.
I mean, on the bright side, it's the kind of car that if it gets bad enough, you're like, I don't feel any stress leaving it parked on the street. What's
exactly
the worst that can happen? The worst is
exactly
already happened.
Yeah, but like that's why it's good to take transit, because then you don't have Shaggy from Scooby-Doo bumping into your personal space, you know? I mean, you could on a bus. You're safer on the bus, I feel like.
I think we've come to the end of the episode, Molly.
I think we have.
Maybe I should ask you that question I used to ask everyone about things that are bringing them joy, because we don't have enough joy in our lives these days. And I say this every year for the past couple of years, we don't have enough happy things in our lives. Do you have a hobby that you're really into right now, or a TV show or a book or a video game, something that makes you happy, a walk in a park?
So I do really love workplace comedies. That's just my thing. I like things where like characters who otherwise wouldn't like each other are together. And something I rewatch a lot when I'm sad is Superstore, if you ever watched that.
I never saw that. It's from a couple of years ago at least, right?
Yeah. Yeah, about people working at Walmart, but like surprisingly good, especially when talking about labor and workers' rights. I didn't expect it to get so political. I also the other day was just like bopping around Lake of the Isles with my friend, and two incredible sights. And this is what's bringing me joy this week. One was getting to see a baby duck up close eating a berry, but the berry was too big for the baby duck, so it had to keep on like really quickly eating it and dropping it and like trying again. That was amazing. And then a guy, and who I'm assuming is his wife, took two canoes and attached them with wood and then created like a table and then had some chairs set up and then some like a garden inside each canoe. And then they had like the New Yorker, and it was like basically they set up a living room in two canoes and were just riding by on Lake of the Isles. And that, really? It was bizarre.
They had a garden?
And like, yeah, they had like a little garden. I wish I had a picture of this, but it was like,
I mean, you have a phone, right? Why didn't you take a picture with your phone?
I think because I was in shock. Like, I apparently this has been a thing. This guy does this. It's just, it's very Minneapolis. Like, it's a new form of transit. Like, your portable living room on Lake of the Isles.
It's very interesting. It sounds almost like a performance art.
You know, I could see that. I would bet it was performance if he wasn't like, yeah, this is my living room. I just grab some mulberries as I pass on by and, like, saying that out loud. Anyway, so that's bringing me joy. I don't know, hang out with my cats who didn't pop up in this interview because they're rude. But, you know. Yeah. John, do you have a cat?
I don't, no. People are really sometimes surprised to learn that I don't have a cat. The guy who does the cat tour doesn't have a cat.
Could you tell me, if you had a cat, what the name would be?
Maybe Chet.
Chet? Chet, yeah. Wedgley?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Just the first thing I could think of, which is how I would name a cat. And I don't think I'm going to elaborate on that. my guest has been Molly Burns Hansen from Move Minnesota. Molly is trying to sign you up, sign your building up, sign your landlord up for these residential transit passes, which are only $14 a month per unit. It's a great deal. It'll make you ride the bus more, and it will be come at a very low cost or free. So contact Molly. Molly's email is going to be in the show notes. If you're watching on YouTube, it's going to be all over the screen. So contact Molly, and let's get more people riding the bus.
$14, cost of 56 gumballs right there.
Yeah, that's a bad way to think of it, but yeah. I'm your host, John Edwards. This has been the Wedge Live Podcast. Thank you for listening.
This is a real thing.
None of you have the balls to stop this.
I've got plenty of time. I have nothing else going on today.
We're in the Wedge neighborhood right now. 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 Right now.